What's up, y'all, and welcome back to Dad Needs to Talk. I'm your host, Robert, and today we're going to be diving into the French thriller series from Netflix called Lupin. Now, Lupin, starring Omar Sy. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Now, I hope all y'all out there are doing well. Whenever y'all are seeing this, because it's probably going to be many months from when I'm actually recording this, because there is a part 3 coming out later this year. But before I jump the gun, as always here at Dad Needs to Talk, it's all about fatherhood and family, manga, anime, TV, movies, and video games. So, like I said, I'm going to be talking about the Netflix French thriller series Lupin, which, off the bat, I will say was a fantastic surprise for me. I have watched both of the current parts that are out, which is, I think, 10 episodes total. They're all about an hour a piece on Netflix. And like I said, there is a third part coming out in early October. Now, one thing I'll say about this series, though, is that not only was it a pleasant surprise for what it was, but it kind of helped me get educated on the Lupin series in general. Because, so, I don't know about a lot of y'all who might have watched this or heard about this series or whatever, but for myself, the only Lupin that I know or have known most of my life is Lupin the Third, which is a Japanese anime and manga series that I watched growing up back in the early 90s. That I recently found out because there was a manga collection that came out within the last year, and found out that the manga started back in the late 1960s. And so on top of that, learning this and just for a little bit of context, the anime, the character Lupin the Third in the anime / manga series, he is the grandson of Lupin from a French novel series, which I learned about through watching this TV show, which the Lupin novels started in the early 1900s, like 1905 or something crazy like that. So I learned a lot, and this show was kind of a reminder to do a bit more homework before you assume or judge things off of just the name. Because, like I said, the only thing I've ever really known of Lupin is the Japanese stuff, the anime. And so when I heard that it was like a live action Lupin, but the main character was a black guy, and I was like, okay, my dots isn't connecting with, you know, the Japanese dude I see in the green or red, suit jacket or whatever. So, I would just put it off for the longest time with it, just because I'm like, live action series, anime series, whatever. Nah. But I kept on hearing, like I said, hearing people whose opinion I trust them. I'm like, yo, no, Rob, this is a good show. So, recently I was down bad, in bed, sick for several days. And I don't know, I've been going through watching a bunch of different series that hopefully I have seen reviews for and discussions for, like Silo and Severance and different stuff like that. And so I was like, you know what, I'm in the mood, let me check out Lupin. So this Lupin series, it basically follows a guy who is basically on a journey to clear his father's name. So his father was an immigrant, brought him over to France when he was a child, let me just make sure I give the proper name. The main character in the Lupin show, his name is Assane Diop. Assane Diop. And so his father brought him over when he was a kid, like I said, to try to give him a better life and stuff. And his dad ends up getting a job working for this very wealthy guy who ends up framing him for the theft of this very expensive necklace, and his father ends up, you know, dying. And I guess I'll say this, I'm just giving just a general synopsis, whatever, of the show. I'll get into more specific spoilers and stuff later on, which I will put timestamps and stuff on the video version and the audio version of this. So just as a heads up on that. But yeah, so like I said, his father got framed and then ends up dying in the process of all this, whatever. And so one of the gifts that his father gave him when he was very young was the first Lupin novel series. And so, of course, over his years, growing up alone in like a foster home thing. Not a foster home, but kind of like a shelter type of place for kids who don't have families or whatever. And then into his adulthood, is he, you know, grew up reading these Lupin novels, which Lupin is known as the gentleman thief, and taking a lot of tips and tricks from Lupin and becoming a thief himself, and being very good at it, which that was like one of like the pleasant things that I enjoyed about the show, is just watching this guy's journey and uncovering all these mysteries of like, okay, what really happened to his father and all the people that he's connected to over the years and stuff, and just seeing how the pieces start to come together, the truths are slowly revealed, double crosses, characters dying along the way, but also just figuring out, okay, how is Asane gonna get out of this? How is he gonna weasel his way out of the situation? Because it's like, you know, the actor, he is 6'3", so he's like a hair taller, because I'm about 6'2 myself. But it's like, and he's a pretty like stocky built dude, so it's like watching this giant black man in France weasel his way out of these situations, stealthily sneaking in and out of these people's homes and these buildings and stuff, whatever. It's like how do you not see this dude coming? How's he been freaking Agent 47 stealth guy with his size and stuff, whatever? So that's kind of like the basic framework of the show. And honestly, like from episode one to the last episode I watched, so for at the end of part two, I was enthralled the whole way through, because like I said, they do a good job of mixing in present day stuff from back when he was a child, in his childhood growing up, and then even kind of doing like the thing to where they show a current situation and then they might be like, okay, you know, 5 hours earlier or 3 days earlier or 2 weeks earlier, whatever, kind of showing some of the setup that he did to get him prepared for a situation that he ends up in present time, or to help him get out of different situations and stuff. And it is just such a masterful thing to see. Like I said, just seeing this character find his way in different situations and getting out, but also, of course, you know, kind of like the Lupin character, at least like I said, like Lupin the Third in the anime that I watched growing up and stuff, like sometimes maybe getting a little bit too cocky or overconfident or too comfortable in a situation, and then sometimes it costing him personally dearly, or those around him that got dragged into his situation or into his messes, seeing how that cost them or whatever. Another pleasant surprise that I didn't expect is seeing all of these amazing father-son bonds, both with Asane and his father, into currently where he's with his own son, who is about the same age that he was when he lost his father. When Asane lost his father, he was about 13, 14 years old or whatever. And now, in the course of the show, he has a teenage son that is turning 14 and stuff like that. So, and dealing with, you know, his childhood sweetheart, who's the mom, and all these different things, as well as his connections that he has with this wealthy benefactor who kind of set up his father and stuff along the way. And so y'all know me, this is of course Dad Needs to Talk. So y'all know, those of y'all that have been listening or watching me for a while know that I enjoy seeing a good family bond situation. Or I guess maybe, you know, of course things weren't always good, cause like I said, Asane, he was getting himself and his and friends and family and stuff around him in some messy situations and stuff. But I know at the core of it, there was true love and concern somewhere in the midst of the chaos. But yeah, like I said, this was just such a great watch. Went by pretty quickly, like I say, for it being currently about 10 episodes, an hour, roughly 40 minutes to an hour a piece. They varied in length or whatever. But they went by pretty smoothly, because I breezed through this pretty much in a day. You know, I started this last night and then watched it through all day today when I'm recording this and stuff. So, but yeah, so definitely if you enjoy a good kind of like mystery thriller type of show, then Lupin is one that I definitely recommend. And like I said, you don't have to have any knowledge or connection with the anime series that I mentioned earlier. Like I said, that was my fault for making those assumptions based off of, like I said, just because there was a name connection didn't mean that, oh, okay, they were trying to do a live action adaptation of that. It was like, no, this is a character who has kind of modeled himself and how he maneuvers and does things after this character that he adored in this novel that he received from his late father during some crazy stuff that happened and stuff. So, but yeah, so great show. Like I said, a fantastic cast of characters. Also, big thing, if you are able to, I highly recommend watching it in French with English subtitles, because I've watched a lot of shows, like I said, I watch a lot of anime and stuff whatever, so of course I'm used to reading subtitles and stuff whatever, or stuff in different languages. But I had initially started watching it in the English dub, and immediately I was like, okay, the voice acting was okay, but it was throwing me off because what I was hearing wasn't matching with the lip syncing. So I was like, okay, this is very weird if they're speaking English but the lip syncing is off, whatever. So I did a little bit of digging and found out that, oh, okay, no, this is actually a French show. So I decided to give it a shot watching it in French. And I'm so glad that I made that change, because not only did that make things flow smoothly, it felt proper because the show takes place in France. So seeing all the like the signage, the writing and everything, whatever, the text messages, all this stuff is in French. So hearing them actually speaking French and reading the subtitles, whatever, was a nice icing on top. Like I said, if you're able to handle that or whatever, because honestly, for the most part, the show doesn't go so fast to where it was, you know, too frantic in me having to, you know, reading and watching or whatever. There was a couple of times where I had to maybe like pause and rewind a little bit, because I had maybe missed something or whatever. But like I said, and of course, once again, going back to me watching anime for many years or whatever, a lot of those skills kind of come from that and stuff as well. So, but yeah, so Lupin, awesome show, highly recommend. Please go watch it. And let me know your thoughts, you know, on what you thought of the series if you have checked it out. So, I'm about to dive into some specific story spoilers. So, If you haven't watched the show yet, thank you so much for watching to this point. Go follow me everywhere at Danny's to Talk, and come back after you've watched this. But we're about to jump into some spoilers right now. So, this show, y'all. Spoilers for all of Lupin through the end of part two. First of all, I gotta give a shout out to the chair that he sat in his kind of like hideout area or whatever. Was super dope at being this kind of like mask on the back of the chair, which those of y'all watching the video version, I have it on screen or whatever. But that was super dope. But so I don't even know where to begin. Of course, I'm not going to try to cover everything beat for beat, but just some of the highlight moments and stuff I want to talk about. Like, honestly, a couple of things. Like, I didn't expect characters to actually die and stuff, whatever, in this show originally. But once characters started getting legit hurt and killed and stuff, I was like, oh, and I wish I would have mentioned this earlier, but of course, some trigger warning for some suicide stuff as well. So I wish I would have mentioned that earlier on. But once I started seeing stuff like that earlier, I was like, oh, okay, you know, kind of shift my focus a little bit. This is going to be a little bit more of a serious tone, which I kind of thought it would be or whatever. But like I said, once again, Lupin, you know, the anime or whatever. But yeah, so seeing different stuff like that just kind of gave more gravity to these situations, because it honestly made you feel like, hey, nobody is safe in this show. And especially like that part where his son got kidnapped, and then, you know, Asane slipped up a bit or whatever when he was chasing the dude in the house, and the guy, you know, ends up kind of getting the slip on them, or kind of tricking Asane, I keep wanting to say Lupin, tricking Asane to get out the house and trapped his son in the trunk of the car and set the car on fire. And then I legit thought that his son was gone, but I was so happy and relieved that detective that ended up going with him or whatever managed to get his son out of there in time and get him to safety. So that was a super awesome and welcome thing to see in that. Unfortunately, like I said, not all characters made it out safely. The reporter lady that helped him, and that was just another one of those moments where I was like, okay, started getting a little bit too cocky, a little bit too comfortable. Sometimes being a little bit too straightforward, putting himself in the line of fire for the showmanship of it all, like Lupin in the books and stuff, whatever. And kind of sometimes putting himself in unnecessary crossfire, because it's like, okay, you brought this lady out of retirement, this journalist lady out of retirement. She kind of got stuff riled up at this media thing with the old guy. I can't freaking remember his name. Hubert Pellegrini. And then, you know, then she getting tailed back to his place, or her place, then his place, and she getting killed in all this. And then, you know, him almost getting caught up going on freaking TV to try to oust the guy with this tape that they ended up doctoring and changing the truth on the tape, whatever. And now you on national television, of course, in disguise or whatever, but still, the fact that you put yourself in that situation to where you almost got boxed in, man. Like I said, plenty of moments like that, they like had me on the edge of my seat. But like I said, it just made it all that much thrilling. Even him getting his I don't know, ex-wife, whatever you want to call her, putting her in a position to where it's like, okay, hey, y'all son has now been kidnapped. She can't really trust you to come through on this, whatever. So then she ends up cutting a deal with this guy, with Pellegrini or whatever, for like, okay, hey, I'll turn in my husband if I can get my son back. You know, it is what it is. And it's like, situations like that, and then him getting the ex-girlfriend, Pellegrini's daughter, that he kind of had a relationship and stuff over the years with, back mixed up and stuff, whatever, getting the mom in the mix and stuff, whatever, which I honestly kind of thought that, like, okay, when Pellegrini got out of jail that time, or got out of being taken to jail or whatever, I thought that the mom was going to get taken out, though we never saw her again, at least no so far anymore in the show after that point. But man, this show just has so many highlights, man. Shout out to, what was the name of that one detective? I'm trying to see if I can find that one detective. I can't remember his name. But anywho, the one detective that was also a fan of the Lupin books and was kind of seeing the signs that Asane had kind of, or like the calling cards of the different undercover names that Asane was using, was it called anagrams, or basically like a mixture of words from characters in the Lupin book and different stuff like that. And so to like the way he kind of like handled different things or whatever, is like, it's like, we need to be looking at the connections to this book and da 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 da. And so it was kind of nice to finally see him get his due and his diligent work finally coming through and helping him figure out who Asane was, but also being able to be there to help him save his son, and also kind of help him uncover the actual truth of what happened to Asane's father and the wrongdoing of all that. So all of that stuff was just very dope. And like I said, I just loved seeing all the different gadgets and disguises and methods of escape and different stuff that he found along the way, which now I think about it, where's the dog? I just thought about that. Where's the dog at the end of all this? Because Asane's hideout pretty much got blown up, or not literally blown up, but got discovered, which that whole situation was crazy, where the one guy was coming to kill him, but then somebody else came and killed that guy, left the body, called the police, and then by the time Asane realized what was going on, he barely escaped out of there, but then became the most wanted person in the country because, like, hey, found this body at this guy's thing. He's connected to this necklace and all this stuff, whatever. Which, man. Oh, other big thing I got to talk about, too. The reveal that they didn't reveal until freaking, like, episode 9. This investment, young investment person or whatever, that was helping Pellegrini, was going to quote-unquote help Pellegrini scam all the donors for his daughter's foundation, $10 million or whatever, to this offshore account and yada, 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 discovering that that person was somebody that Asane and his best friend, Benjamin helped discover. And I loved how they went about finding another accomplice in the situation, to where they went to this library type of place, hung out basically in the Lupin section, and just watched people kind of come and go and be like, he's not a good fit, that person's not a good fit, she's not a good fit, or whatever. And then this young person basically figured out, okay, hey, what do y'all two want? You're fake reading your newspaper, your buddy over here, the book he's holding is upside down. What do y'all want? And seeing the transformation from this kind of like gothic emo kid to this kind of like clean cut business entrepreneur tech person or whatever was just super fantastic. And I love stuff like that, to where it was like this character that you've kind of seen along the way, you found out was like a secret plant for the main character and their plot in the long term plan of this. And heck, even then with the stuff of them using the catacombs that they had went on a tour of when they were kids, and how they borrowed this map from the lady at the ticket booth of the secret tunnels and stuff, whatever, that's not part of the tour that somebody had mapped out some years ago, whatever. And so they kind of like overlaid the tour map on top of the actual, like the bigger map of the catacombs. And the fact that all these years later, 25 years later, that came in clutch in their escape. And the fact that they had this escape route within their escape route of, they had this kind of like storage closet and this like warehouse thing, whatever, that had a secret freaking bookshelf entrance that led into the freaking catacombs beneath Paris. Yo, man, it was, or France, wherever the catacombs are. But that was just so freaking dope seeing that, and then them coming back. And I loved how they kept on referencing as his son, as Asane's son, was reading through the Lupin series or whatever. At that point in time, he was reading the kind of like book or chapter or whatever, about the blonde lady who helps Lupin out in the books, whatever. And the blonde lady in Asane and Benjamin's case was the lady from the toll booth of their childhood, and how when they finally escaped the catacombs, whatever, gave the cops a slip, Benjamin gave her the map with a piece of the diamond from the necklace, whatever, wrapped up in it or whatever, being like, thank you, we promise you we'll bring it back, and here it is. All that stuff was just so beautiful, just seeing all these various loops and plot points and stuff, like all the dots connect and come back full circle. And like I said, for things kind of like wrap up pretty nicely with them finally getting an accusation out of Pellegrini and stuff, and and even the cop, they kind of like the head cop, whatever, they kind of, that was kind of a, was a dude, what was his name, Dumont, seeing those two kind of both get busted and all this, Asane, you know, making up and showing his family like, hey, I'm good, but I gotta disappear for a while. I just loved it. It was just a fantastic end. And honestly, if that would have been the end of the series, that honestly would have been a great wrap up for it. And so, but I'm excited to see what they're gonna do in this third part. Like I said, I hope that they don't drag this out super, super long, because now that the initial goal of, hey, I'm trying to solve this 25 year mystery, and clearing my father's name, I want to see him, they've wrapped that part up, whatever. Now I kind of want to see, okay, what are they doing this third part? Hopefully after this third part, maybe they stop it there, you know, hopefully. And other scene I got a shout out to, man, just showing this dude's dedication to his craft, to solving the mystery, was when he figured out that somebody that knew his father back in the day was in prison. And it was just kind of just so silly to see that he basically broke into prison where he found somebody, another black guy, whatever. And the fact that this guy had been kind of like, I don't know if he was in isolation or whatever for a while, but he got the stars aligned to where he came to visit the guy during a guard shift change, on top of the guy was getting moved to a different area of the prison. So the guards went and noticed that, okay, this is a different guy. Also, he's got a new bunk mate or whatever. So the fact that this guy, that he freaking swapped places with this guy, and this guy's assumably just wandering free right now, whatever, somewhere in the world. That was just super dope, man. Just even like the handcuff trick, to where he was like kind of like resting like on the guy's handcuff. The guy was like, well, how are you gonna break out of these, genius, whatever. And he kind of did this like thing and flipped the cuffs over from the guy to his hands or whatever. And like, man, he went above and beyond. He went freaking getting shanked to get into the room that the guy was being hospitalized at, to getting the other Lupin book that his dad left for him in this guy's care, to faking his own death, to Asano faking his death, to getting out of the prison and stuff, whatever. Like, yo, this show was fantastic, but I'm going on 30 minutes of talking about this, but like I said, this was just such a fantastic watch that it was worth giving this much time to. But like I said, if you've gone through all this and you haven't watched the show, please go watch it. And if you have watched it, please let me know. What did you think of the show? Were you as intrigued by it as I was? Did you have any previous experience with the Lupin series, whether it's the anime, the manga, the French novels? What is your history with Lupin in general? And yeah, and so with that being said, like I said, thank you so much for watching and or listening. As always, you can catch me everywhere at Danny's A Talk, and I will catch y'all in the next one. And I'm looking forward to watching part 3, which hopefully will be coming out soon for when y'all are seeing this. But y'all be easy. Thank y'all so much for all the love and support, and I'll catch y'all on the next one. Be easy. Peace.